from the text. Okay, I'm not going to be able to put it on the screen. It's going to take too long. So let's just continue where we left off. We started last week with the pasuk Gimel, Dalet, Hey, and Hey. Three psukim. It's on Perigimel, pasuk. Let me put everyone on mute. We have some competition here. Okay, no more competition. Perigimel, pasuk Gimel, Dalet, Hey. These three psukim. So I'll just read the psukim very quickly to recap what we're up to. The Yeshua Hayalavush Begodim Tzayim, Yeshua was wearing dirty clothing. He was wearing dirty clothing. V'oimber, he was standing lefnei hamalach. He was standing lefnei before the malach. Vayan, vayoimer el hoimdim lefonov leimar. Vayan, who is Vayan referring to? We learned last week. Vayan refers to this one malach, and he said to his assistants, Malachim have assistants, not just human beings. They also have assistants. And he said to them, I want you to go, Lamar, Haimdim Lefon of Lamar, Hasidu Habagodim Hatsoye Me'olav. Remove the dirty clothing from Yeshua. Vayomer Elav Re'ei Hevartim Yolech Avonecha. And then the Malach said, after the clothing were removed, look, I have removed the dirty clothing from upon you. Vayomer Elav Re'ei Havarti Me'olecha Avoinecha, I have removed your sins. Ve'halbeish Oitzecha Machalotzois, and I have instructed my assistants to dress you in beautiful clothing, which we learn according to many of the Mefarshim. It doesn't necessarily mean that he put on new clothing. It means that the good, clean, beautiful, pristine clothing that he was already wearing were revealed. It's a very a loose translation. V'halbeish means oischot, to dress you. No, not to dress you. Once the dirty clothing had been, the outer clothing had been removed, automatically the beautiful inner clothing had been revealed. Then we learned Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey was we learned an incredible chiddush from the Radak. And the chiddush was from the Radak. It was from the Malbim. We already learned all the Mefarshim here. Maybe we'll do Maral, we'll see in a second, but we learned, I just want to recap the last parish that we learned from the Malbim, which is an awesome interpretation, is that the speaker in Pasuk Hey is Zechariah. And Zechariah is now saying, if that is the case, that my sins have been cleansed, I make a request that my children should succeed me in my position. Vo'imar, Yosimu tzonif tohor al roishoy. Whose head? The head of my children. Roishoy, or this can mean in a different interpretation that it's the Malach speaking, and the Malach is saying to Hashem, now that his sins have been removed, he has been cleansed, may the tzonif tohor, it doesn't just mean may he continue to serve. May the tzonif tohor means the position should go down, the legacy should continue with his family. The kahuna should remain in the mishpacha of Yehoshua HaKohen HaGadol. Let's assume it's the Malach. Yosimu tzonif tohar al roshoi. The kahuna gedolah shall be on the head of this person's family, not just the individual. And indeed, the tefillah was accepted. Either it was a tefillah from the Malach, or it was the tefillah of Zechariah, Vayasimu Hatzonif HaTohar Al Roshoi, which means it was now established that his descendants would always be Koyhanim Gedolim in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayalbishu Bigodim, and he was dressed with clothing, Umalach Hashem Oimed, and the Malach Hashem was present during all of this time. That's a little bit extra. Why are those words here? That's a little bit interesting why those words are here. Obviously, these psukim that we're learning over here has a lot to do with Chanukah. Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned last week that the Abarbanel has a long analysis that this is a prophecy relating to Matisyahu and his children who are instrumental in bringing about the miracle of Chanukah, and that is why we lay this as the Haftorah on Shabbos Chanukah. Okay, we're putting that aside because none of the Farshim really mentioned that over here in these psukim. They mentioned this in reference to Yoshua Kohen HaGadol. And there is something I want to point out over here because I was preparing for the parasha, and they quoted this pasuk. It's a very interesting point. We have a principle of the one who gets credit for a mitzvah is the person who concludes the mitzvah. But if a person just starts a mitzvah, then and does not finish the mitzvah, he does not get credit, even though he puts into motion and gives instructions to other people to finish the mitzvah. The problem is that we find exceptions to this rule. For example, let's discuss the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is called on the name of David. Okay? David, I don't have all the psukim in front of me. There are psukim Mizmor Shir, excellent. Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. Excuse me. David did not build the Beis HaMikdash. David may have collected the money. He was a good fundraiser. David may have received the blueprints from the Nevi'im, Nason HaNavi, God HaChoyze. He may have received the blueprints, but David did not build the Beis HaMikdash. It was Shlomo who built the Beis HaMikdash. And yet David is getting credit. Okay, there are more examples which I can't remember. On the other hand, let's talk about the mitzvah of taking the bones of Yosef out of Egypt. It says in the pasuk that who is the one that took the bones out of Egypt? Klal Yisrael. Yes, Atzmos Yosef Asher. I don't remember the pasuk, but the pasuk gives credit to who? To the Jewish people, not to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the one that started the mitzvah. So there are I don't have all the source in front of me, but basically that's not my goal. I just want to bring it to your site. Basically, there is a contradiction throughout Chazal, throughout Tanakh. When do we give credit to the one who starts the mitzvah, and when do we give credit to the one who concludes the mitzvah? And one of the best answers, the most popular answer given is, if the one who starts and the one who concludes is father and son, and the father instructs his children, the credit goes to the father. However, if the one who instructs is not the father of the one who concludes the mitzvah, then the credit goes to the one who concludes the mitzvah. When it came to the bones of Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the start of the mitzvah, gave the instructions, but the one who concluded the mitzvah were Klal Yisrael, they were not his children. They were not his biological children, therefore they are the ones who get the credit. When it comes to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, even though David did not build the Beis HaMikdash, but David only started, the fact that David commanded his son, Shlomoi, then it goes on his name. By extension, who was the one that brought about the miracle of Hanukkah? Was it Matisyahu? No, it wasn't. Matisyahu, from our records, didn't lift a finger. Matisyahu was not involved in the war at all. He did not go out to the front lines and lift a weapon, shoot an arrow, raise a sword. Who is the one that fought the war? His five sons, Yehuda HaMakabi, and his brothers. So it should say in the Al HaNisim on Hanukkah, Bimei Yehuda ben Matisyahu. The focus should go on Yehuda, the son of Matisyahu. And yet, what does it say in the Nusach of the Tefillah of Al HaNisim? Bimei Matisyahu Ubanov. Excuse me, our records do not indicate that Matisyahu had very much, if anything at all, to do with the miracle of Hanukkah. So why are we giving credit to the father, not the children? The answer is, when it comes to a father and a son, automatically all of the success is attributed to the father. When it comes to a relationship of Rebbe Talmud or a Shalshelas HaDorais that are not father and son, then we give credit to the one that concludes the mitzvah, not the one that starts the mitzvah. That's why when it comes to the Atzmos Yosef, the credit goes to Klal Yisrael, not to Moshe, who started. And when it comes to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the credit goes to David, not to Shlomo, because David and Shlomo were father and son. This pasuk that we just cited is an example in this discussion. It says here, V'hoyeshua hoya lavush bigodim tzayim. What do the children have to do with him? The answer is, it's a team. It's a team. The behavior of the children directly reflects upon the father. And if there's a problem with the children, then we have to go look at the father. And as we look over here in this case, not to judge today. Today, of course, it's a different world. But Chazal criticize. They read into these psukim a criticism to Yehoshua that he could have done more. He could have done more to prevent his children from marrying non-Jewish women, even though obviously it was in the Soyon that the vast majority of Klal Yisrael were not able to withstand. We don't understand the times. We don't understand who Yeshua was. And it's not for us. And again, it's not something that we can extrapolate to our day and age. I can tell you many times, you see over and over again, people do everything correctly. Unfortunately, there are problems, and you have just the opposite. There are people who do every single thing wrong in parenting. Without any exception, they break every single rule, and yet they have wonderful children. So how do you explain that? There are no answers.
So you think there was a shortage of Jewish women?
Rav Mordechai Bidenstock is asking, could it be there were a shortage of Jewish women? Not likely. For every man, every pot has a cover. Don't get me started. Okay, so it's not likely there was a shortage. And if there was a shortage, so what? There was a shortage. So you marry what's available. Okay, you marry whatever is available. People always say, what are you looking to do? In general, they say to a boy, I'm talking about, let's say a boy 20, 21 years old, right? What are you looking for in a shuch? That is a ridiculous question to ask anyone what they're looking for. The question is, what is available? Okay, what is available? What are you don't know what you're looking for. No one knows the depth of his mind, what's good, what's not good. It is a question of what is available. Not every girl is willing to date every boy. Not every boy is willing to date. There's a certain area where there's overlap, which al derech hateva is in the ballpark. That's your pool. That's what's available. Select or try. Okay, you can't go shafa goylem. And if you would be able to make a goylem, it would be a disaster, because a person truly does not know what is good for him. All right, so we've gone through, I think we really have gone through all the mafarshim. There's a maral in honor of our Rebbe, Rabbi Michal Miller. Tomorrow is a big yom tov for Rabbi Michal. you have prepared us.
I prefer a yom tov over Abel anyway.
Okay, your Friday Friday email was really out of this world. They had some real, real good lines. You should go work for the government, Rachel. I don't know if they'll pay you too much.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Okay, so you had some really sharp lines there, and Rachel is a very big fan of the Maral. Okay, this is where me and Rachel, we separate. Maral, by me, is very abstract. I learned Chaim Berlin, they it's a big thing. Maral is a very Rav Chudner Zechet Tzadik Livracha was a very strong promoter of the Torah of the Maral, yeah. And it influences Talmidim very, very much. And I've studied Maral a little here and there, and I find it to be, from my limited intelligence, extremely difficult, abstract. I call it abstractions, and it's a certain. We touch upon. So here in this edition of the Mikoros Gedolos, unfortunately, I can't put it today on the screen. But so let me just read to you very quickly what it says here in this. If you have the Sefer, many of you do. Okay, many of you do on page 737. That's
yeah,
not
like,
an
like,
okay. 737.
Yehoshua.
It says the Yeshua Yelovish Bogodim Tzayim Yoimid Lefnei Malach. Hachatoim lo adam heim nechshavim gam kein malbush le adam. This is a very beautiful principle, and it's not just the Maral that says this idea that sin is described in Chumash here in Tanakh as clothing. A sin is called clothing. Hachatoim lo adam heim nechshavim gam kein malbush le adam. Shecha adam mislabesh bachatoim behim nikroim begodim tzayim. when a person is dressed as Averos, they envelop him. They become his clothing. And that makes them what's called bigodim, some filthy, dirty clothing. The davar zetimsa bekanu mekoymos. We find this all over in Tanakh, in Chazal. Shehachatoim heim nikroim malbush vehamitzvos vehamidos hatavos gam came heim malbush lo adam. But likewise, when a person does a mitzvah, it also is a malbush, a garment for a person. Vehei malbushei kovoid lo adam. It is the siluk, the removal of the malbush hachatoim uviprat kasher hachatoim heim hepuch ze, when the sins are the opposite. Now he's going into abstractions. Let me just read a little bit more. Ki kasher ha'adam mislabesh b'chet hazeh shemashmiya l'shonoi b'loshon hora uvezeh mislabesh adam b'bagodim ha'pasuch ha'pechusim o'elu v'chasher ha'koyim gadol shukoyim gadol chal yishol mislabesh b'malbush ha'kodesh sheyesh bo yashmoas kol shol kudusha davar zeh hu kaparit shol l'shon hora. Okay, so he's talking about the bells. The bells...
Bring up a contrast between the sound of Lashon Hara and the sound of holiness.
The sound purity of the Pamoinim, when the Kohen Gadol, where he wore the Mi'il, on the bottom of it were 72 bells, and there were clappers. Question, were the clappers in the bell, were the clappers in the side of the bells? The whole discussion, exactly what they looked like. If you look in the art scroll, Mishkan book, they show you different illustrations of what exactly, but one thing is certain, when the Kohen Gadol walked, there was noise. There was noise that accompanied, like we have something very similar today with the Sifrei Torah. It is the Minag Yisrael. Everything is has a reason to put upon the Torah a keser, and also a choshen. And there's the Minag Yisrael that in the keser there are bells, and on the choshen there are bells. And when you move with the Sefer Torah that has on it the keser and the choshen, there is a sound. You can't walk silently from the omud, from the Aron HaKodesh to the bima, without the rattling of those bells. Now you'll ask, is that permitted on Shabbos? Well, yeah, pretty much it is. It's not called music. You're not trying to make music. It doesn't sound like music to me. There is such a principle of avsha milsa, making noise. That's a whole different principle. Generally, the sound that comes from the bells is not considered to be music, a musical instrument. Not to say that everyone agrees. There are definitely poskim that advise us to remove the clappers from the bells. So when you take the sefer Torah from the Aron to the Bima, it should be silent. But that's not common. There are such opinions that say that it's a shaila on Shabbos, being mashmiya koil of music. But most people do not follow that strict opinion, and they allow the bells to have these little teeny bells, which don't make much noise anyway, to have these little clappers, in order there should be some sound. And that is basically a takeoff from the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol was allowed to walk on Shabbos and Yom Kippur with bells attached to his garment, and it was not considered Hashmoas Kol, making music on Shabbos, so it should not be any different when you go with the Sefer Torah and the Keser and the Choshen have bells. They have bells for a reason, the Keser. I don't think Queen Elizabeth, her crown have bells that make noise when you walk with it. I don't think so. The end of having bells, but it's on all the crowns of the Sifrei Torah, they have bells. It's a Minhag Yisrael, because it's a takeoff from the Kohen Gadol, that when he walk, there is sound. And here the Maral is telling us, what's the purpose? He's saying an idea, the Ayin Panim Torah, that every element of the Kohen Gadol, every prat was a kapara. The Chazal say, each garment served to be mechaper for a different chait in Klal Yisrael. And the bells was mechaper for Lashon Hara. Kali Yisrael speak, there is dibur, there is sound, the bells is the corresponding, and that is called part of his malbush. Okay, so this is a principle of clothing. We know that a warrior, a gibor, has armor, and armor is made of scales in order that he can maneuver. We have a garment. The garment is made from thread. It's woven into one piece of cloth. But armor is not so smooth. It's made of teeny little pieces. So Chazal say that's really a mashal for the way we appear in Olam Haba. Every mitzvah we do is another scale in the armor which is the malbush that we wear in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, everyone's going to have different clothing. Today we live, they always criticized B'nai Torah, they look like penguins, black and white, penguins. In Olam Haba, it's not going to be like that. In Olam Haba, every single person will have a different costume. Everyone's going to have a different, completely unrecognizable one from another. Why? Because every person's fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs is completely different. Each mitzvah gives a person another scale. And some of those scales can be exotic, and some of them can be ugly, depending if it was done, the method how it was done. And that produced for a person the malbush of his neshama in the next world. Chazal said that a kala, she wears 24 ornaments, 24 pieces of jewelry, corresponding to the 24
accessories.
24 accessories. A kala, they're listed in Sefer Yirmiyah. There are 24. It's not so easy to make the calculation. What exactly are the 24? There are probably more like 30 candidates for the 24. You have to know where to put the comma in the psukim, in the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya. But Chazal tells there are, if you want to make the calculation, there are 24 accessories that a kala wears. And Chazal compare the kala to a Talmud Chacham who must be proficient and a baki in the Chaf Dalid Sifrei Tanakh. There are 24 books in Tanakh which are sacred. The siman is Chanukah. There's Chamishei Chumshei Torah. That's a given. That's five. And then there is Ches. Ches Chanukah. Ches Nun. The first two letters of the word Chanukah is Ches Nun. Eight Nevi'im. And then Chanu. Then there is Ches Nevi'im. Then there's Vav. Vav Chof is six kisuvim, six books of the ksuvim, and the hey at the end of the word is the five mikilois. So it's chamishichum shetora plus Chanukah, ches neviim, vav kisuvim, and the five chamishichum shetora. So you see again this idea of clothing. A kala wears clothing. What are her clothing? Clothing of the chof dal sefer Tanakh. Okay, so this is the maral. He's not
can
really.
Can I just add? Yes. To this, that he goes on to say that the rimonim, which are silent, represent the virtue of silence at the appropriate time. And then he says that this combination in the me'il is for public lashon hara, and the ketores is for private lashon hara.
Because
we know ketores is also for lashon
hara. B'chashai. You say, you go quietly. Secret lashon hara. The only difference between a secret and public announcement is a secret you tell everyone, one person at a time. Public announcement, you tell everyone together. That's the only chiluk between, at the end of the day, everyone knows. The only question is, individual attention or is it public attention? All right, now we come now to Pasik Vav. Pasik Vav, new section, Vayoad Malach Hashem B'Hoshua Lemor. What does it mean, the word Vayoad? This is not an easy word to translate. Vayoad means he warned. Why does the word Vayoad mean warned? Because the root of the word Vayoad is aid, a witness. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim va'adabera v'sishma haretz imrefi. And Rashi there says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he warned them. The whole parasha of Hazinu was a warning. Watch out. if you misbehave, you're going to be punished. And in front of whom did he warn them? Who are the witnesses? The Shamayim and the Aretz. A human being's time in this world is limited. He's not going to be around. I'm not going to be around to go and say, I told you so. But the Shamayim and the Aretz are going to be around for a long time. They bear witness that I told you that if you misbehave, you will be punished. And if you behave, you will be rewarded. So the whole parasha was a warning, and the warning was done in the presence of two witnesses, the Shamayim and the Aretz. So that's why the word Vayyo'ad means to warn, because warning is typically done in the presence of witnesses. Vayyo'ad Malach Hashem Yeshua Limer, he warned them. What was the warning? Koyamar Hashem Tzavokas. Im Bidrachai Teleich, if you go in my ways. The Im, Es Mishmarti Sishmor, you guard my charge. Mishmarti, my charge, my mission, the mission that I give you, you will guard. The Gamata Toddin SBC. Now here is something that is unique. The Kohen Gadol's role is not to judge. This is a very fascinating pasuk which shakes us up, because we know that Shlomo HaMelech, the ultimate king, Melech Shalom Shaloi, what was his forte? What was his specialty? Din. He was Yoyeshev al Kisei Din. He had a throne, he had this massive throne, and people would come the entire day for Mishpat. And he was a shofet, he was a dayan. So over here, it says here something very, very interesting. We're giving over here, the Malach is instructing Yehoshua, the Gam Ato Todin Espeisi, you will judge my bias. The Gam Tishmor Eschatzir, you will guard my courtyards. Then Vinosati Lucha Mahalchim Bein Ha'imdim Ha'il. This is a very important pasuk. This pasuk is what separates the men from the boys.
Rabbi Levine, does it say Mahalchim?
No, it does not say. Mahalchim. No. Mahalchim. You're right, I stand corrected. Vinosati Lucha Mahalchim. The Hey is a Shvanoch, which basically means it's silent. It's pretty much silent. Ma, not, there's no dot in the hay. Ma, and then the lamid is a shvan. No, le, ma, le, chim, which means to move, mobility, which we have to discuss. You're saying good. Bein, between ho'oimedim ho'ele, between these objects that are standing. We'll discuss this. By the way, this week's parasha is all about the malachim. And then suddenly he sees Anoshim who were dressed up in the form of angels. Angels disguised as human beings. And they sat by Avraham. He gave them Basa B'cholav. He told them, he cleaned their feet, the whole story. This week there's a lot of discussion about angels. And last week as well, Hagar, she went out with Yishmael and she came across angels. Many angels spoke to her. Okay, so we have to come back then in a few moments. But let's just look at the basic gist over here. He's telling over here that I want you to go do many different things. And if you'll do these things, then I'm going to give you a blessing. Now, before we even look at the Mefarshim, right away we can get a sense of what Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned to us last week, that this pasuk would seem to hint to us that there's going to be a Kohen Gadol that's going to take on the role of the Melech. And that's exactly what happened during the time of the Chashmonaim, the time of Chanukah. At the time of Chanukah, the office of the Kohuna Gedoyla also operated as the Melech. The Kohanim seized the Malchus. Now, if it's a fact that Malchus, the specialty of Malchus is justice, is the judiciary. If that is what the main element of Malchus is about, then indeed, this pasuk here is telling Yehoshua, who we're saying over here, alludes to Matisyahu, the family of the Chashmonaim, So says Hashem. Number one, Bidrachai Telech Vagamis Bishmar Tishmar, I want you to do your job. You're Kohanim. I want you to go in my ways, to be good, to do. The Kohanim are generally the spiritual leaders. And you will guard my charge. Vigam. Okay, look at the word Vigam. Hoyroashah. During the time of the Chashmonaim, there was a void of leadership. There was no mal. The Malchus was weak. Lo yosur shevet mi Yehudo mechoyeg mi bein raglav. Even though that Malchus is only supposed to come from Malchus of Yehuda, but during this era in Jewish history, shevet Yehuda were not up to the job. There was a void. There was a void in Jewish leadership. So who filled in the vacuum? The Kohanim, the family of the Chashmonaim. They seized the Malchus. And that's, where did they get legitimacy from? So I'm telling you now, just Drush, I'm just telling you, because Rabbi Mayevsky, he told me yesterday, last week, that everything over here, according to the Barbanella, alludes to the story of Hanukkah. If that is correct, then you see over here a remez that Hashem is authorizing the Kohanim to temporarily to take control of the Malchus, so there should be no void of leadership. And how does it show that in this pasuk? By telling them to engage in mishpat, which is typically the domain of Malchus. The gam ato gam. Even though you're a kohanim, I also want you to be the kings. Todin es beisi, the gam tishmor es chatzeroi. Guard my courtyard. What does that mean? The Beis Hamikdash. Take it back. Take back the Beis Hamikdash from whom? From the Yevonim, from the Misyavnim, from the Beis Hamikdash was shut down for a period of time during the time of the Bayis Sheni, during this era. Vinosati l'cho, I will give you ma lechim, I'll give you mobility bein ho'imdim ho'ele. What does that mean? Besides what we're going to learn in a few moments, if you want to learn that it refers to Hanukkah, I'll give you power to overcome these mighty oimdim, these pillars, the Yevonim were the Giborim, they were the Rabim, they were the pillars of the world. Society was built upon their foundation. Don't worry, I will give you the ability to succeed, even though you're dealing with an impossible situation. You're dealing with oimdim. I will give you a solution to your problems. Okay, so it's very fitting what the Abarbanel says. And then we have to, can't forget that we have to say this, because if we're going to lane this Haftorah in Shabbos Chanukah, obviously this was selected. Obviously there's a lot of remes and nevuah. There are many dimensions of the future that come forth. Let's take a look over here at the mitzvot of Pasuk Vav Vayyad. What's Vayod? Acha kol hamasim hisra hamalach b'Yehoshua. After all of the events before of the Musar, the Musar of his children, the Begodim Tzoyim, he now warns them. Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudos in Bidrachai Teilech, Ritzoyin Loimar im Zar Acha Yelchu Bidrachai. So he writes over here, Bidrachai Teilech, referring to his children. The Mitzvah Stav is obviously saying this to connect this section to the previous section. Since the previous section was about the children, your children are not going in the right ways, I want you now to instruct them to follow in the right path. The Amar Kimedaber Olav, as if he's speaking to the person. So if that's why do you say to him? Because that's a derech, because the person's children, Bro Kara Diavua. The Amar Kimedaber Olav, Ki Zer Adam Yechoshev Kamov, the children of the person is an extension, V'chein, Eko chacha Zerubbabel. Okay, we find elsewhere the same idea. The im es mishmarti tishmar return lamar im yishmru hadvarim asher tzivisi l'shamram. If you will guard the items I told you, the chavul dav b'milushas poetic repetition v'gam matadodin return lamar gam zarecha kamecha yukoyan gedolim u'pkidim ad olam lo dunes beisi. Okay, he's just saying this poetic repetition that your children will also be appointed to guard my mission. If you will guard your children, you will encourage them to go in your ways and to lead Klal Yisrael in serving Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash. the gam tishmar reitzoyno loymar biyadam yiyesh mirois chatzeroi. He's saying then the gam tishmar is a bracha. If they will go in my way, I will grant them success. They will in fact be appointed to be leaders. The chafal hadavu b'mila shoynos v'nasati l'cha ma lichim reitzoyno loymar umelvadzois. Lo yikupach sicharam ba'olam haneshamais. The Mitzudos David here is saying something that is very, very explosive. It's not the derech. It's not the way of the Mitzudos David to write in Yoni Kabbalah. But he says that not only will they have success in this world, they will have success in the next world. They will have a pass, a special VIP pass, which allows them mobility in the next world. I will not deny their reward in the Olam HaNeshamos, ki etein lohem ma lechim v'tiyulim. They will go on a tour. Okay, in Shemayim, what do they do there the whole day in Shemayim? What goes on there? No one ever came back to tell us. They have tours. They take the Neshamos to this tzaddik and to that tzaddik. What goes on? It says over here, they have tiyulim. Hoffman tours. Okay, there are tours in the Olam HaNeshamos. Only in this world can you go to the Caribbean on a cruise with Shweki and all the other celebrities. They have the same thing in the Olam HaEmes. You have celebrity malachim who know how to sing, and they have very nice ships and very nice resorts. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. Mahalchim v'tiyulim bein hamalachim o'ele ha'omdim po k'mo yishnemo l'mala v'yomer el ha'omdim l'fonav. Malachim are called ha'omdim l'fonav, and you will have mobility. Okay, we have no clue what goes on in the next world. This world is a prozdar. It's only a hallway to a much larger facility. Okay, you know, it's interesting that in the olden days, in the architecture, 100 years ago, the prozdar was literally teeny compared to the main synagogue, the main makam. Today, just the opposite. Today, the hallway, the lobby is magnificent, and the hotel rooms are teeny. The Bialystoker. You ever go to the Bialystoker in the Lower East Side? How big is the hallway? The Bialystoker is humongous, massive. Massive shul, and how do you go into the Bialystok? You go up the steps, and you come into this little this little teeny lobby. The lobby is like the size of a closet, and from there you go into the main shul. That was the way they built things years ago. The vestibule. The chamber. It's called
antechamber.
The antechamber, the vestibule. This little area, the Bialystok, a magnificent shul. It was really built as a church. The Bialystok was built as a church, and the church never moved in. There was some reason why the church went bankrupt before they even moved in. So they sold it to the Bialystok, to a synagogue. And like that's the old-fashioned architecture, teeny, teeny little lobby. You don't waste space on the lobby. Then you go into the big shul. So that's what this world is, a prozdar for Olam Haba. This world is nothing k'neged the magnificent Olam Haba. Today in the 21st century, when they build a building, the lobby is bigger than the whole building. You notice that? The Waldorf Astoria in Eretz Yisrael. You ever see what it looks like down there? The atrium, what it looks like? It's magnificent. They have more than one. They have one, two. It's unbelievable. And then you go up all around and the atrium to different hotel rooms. So the rooms are teeny. They're nice, but nothing like the lobby. Nothing like the prozdar.
Why is the lobby so big?
Because we live in a world today, in 21st century, where this world is the ikar. This world is a prozdar, lo'olam haba. We have kleina hasagas. We have klein hasagas today. Today it's really scary. Our Chazal say, Oilam hazeh is a proizdar lo'olam haba. Prepare yourself in the prozdar before you go into the traklin. The prozdar is the lobby. It's the vestibule, the antechamber. It's a little teeny, it's a nothing. There's nothing there. It's just the place where you wipe your feet when you come out from the street. You just rub your feet and then you go into the big shul. Where do you put your coat? I don't know. But you rub your feet over there. That's in Chazal's mind. The prozdar. Today we have a very hard time understanding what that means, because say any new building that is constructed today, you build a magnificent lobby. That's the way it is. That's we need it like that. I mean, that's just the way the world works. All right, but it's really telling that we really are lacking in our appreciation of the relationship between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Okay, let's see what Rashi. Rashi pasuk va vayod. Rashi says the same thing as the mitzvah. Stavia means to warn. Vayod lashon hasra'ah. Lashon hasra'ah, that he was warned. Kemoy v'ida bam es hashemayim. Like I told you, from hazinu, to warn. Okay.
Unkelu said vashidu.
The ashed, testimony, right? Testimony. So that's what we explained. The word vayod comes lashon aid. To warn, right? When you warn someone, right? So we explain that when you warn someone, you typically warn them in front of witnesses. So the two words go together. The word vayod doesn't really have a translation. There is no real translation for this word. The word vayod comes from the word aid, a witness, and we take this word, we manipulate it to express the idea of warning, because it's typical, it's when you warn somebody, you warn them in front of witnesses. Don't say, I never told you. I'm positioning two witnesses, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. He brought the Shamayim and the Aretz to serve as witnesses when he warned Klal Yisrael that if they misbehave, they're going to be punished. So it's not a real word, but we're using it to create the idea of warning. Lashon hasra, come over, idabam es hashamayim. Okay, pasuk zayin in Rashi, im bidrachai telech v'gam ani zois esel lecha. If you'll go my ways, then I will reciprocate. This week's parasha. And this week's parasha, it says by Avraham Avinu, v'gam yidativ, Leman asher yitzave esbonav yespesi acharav lishmar derech Hashem. This is a very appropriate, this pasuk, what it says over here, derech Hashem, what it says over here, im bidrochai teleich, really is a parallels what Hashem said about Avraham. Hashem says, ki yedativ, which we loosely translate, I love him. I love Adam HaRishayin, the Adam Yoda. Eschava ishto. Hashem said about Avraham, ki yidativ. My relationship with Avraham is like the relationship between man and woman. Just like there's a commitment, there's a certain connection between ish v'ishtoi, so too ki yidativ. Hashem, I have that connection with Avraham, that commitment, that reciprocal commitment. Why? Because Avraham Avinu was the first person in this world. He taught his children to go in his ways. Until the time of Avraham Avinu, children were like weeds. Person has children, do whatever you want. Find your own way in this world. You come up with your own system of understanding the world. Do whatever your heart tells you to do. That came to an end with Avraham Avinu. He invented that you don't let children run around like weeds. You don't let them grow like weeds. Children need to be disciplined. They need to be taught. They need to be controlled. It's not an olam shel hefker. Is the one leman asher yitzaveh. He commanded his bonof, his children, his base of his household, acharav, and he taught them, he trained them, this is the way it's going to be. He trained them and he taught them. He showed them the light. That's an incredible gift that Avraham Avinu gave to this world. Children are not weeds. Children have to be nurtured, have to be protected, have to be taught, have to be shown the proper way to live. And because Avraham Avinu is the one who gave this gift to the world, Hashem says, Ki yedatev. I have a love for him. I have a love for Avraham Avinu. That's what Pesach is. What Pesach is, the Yom Tov of Avraham Avinu. It's not just about Emuna. The Yom Tov Pesach, we always come back. What do you teach at the Seder? Everyone asks this question. What is, sum up, summarize, cliff notes on the Seder Lil Pesach? What's the summary? Emuna. Emuna. The whole Yom Tov of Pesach is all about the Nichla Dim Hemnusa. Emuna. Lech Tech Acharai Bamidbar Bi Eretz Lo Yisroah. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't reach our destination of Matan Torah. It was just Emuna Bahashem. Who is one who taught Emuna Bahashem? Avraham. But it's not just it. It's much more than that. Avraham didn't just believe. Ki yidatif leman asher yitzaveh esbonav yesbeisoy derech Hashem. He was a maimon and he taught his children Emuna. Yitzchak, Beisoy, Eliezer, Yishmael, he taught them Emuna. And Pesach, it's all about Emuna. It's about teaching Emuna to the next generation. Goes Zebezeh. And here we have this message, a very clear message about Chanukah. That's also what it's all about. Hashem is telling, the Malach is telling Yehoshua, I'm warning you. First of all, your children are not going in the right way. You better shape up. You better go and be mechanech them properly. And now when you will succeed in being mechanech them properly and giving them musr not to marry non-Jewish women, v'chulu v'chulu, and you will guarantee that you will teach them, your children, lishmor esterach Hashem, teilich bidrachai. This is how Rashi learns Shan the Pasuk. Okay, this is how Mitzvus and Rashi. In mederach teilich, v'gam ani zois eser l'cha, if you will, then I will, Hashem, I will reciprocate. Ata todin es beisi tishboit v'tia pokid al beis mikdashi. Now, what does it mean tishboit? Okay, we discussed that this is a difficulty because we mentioned before that the kohanim, it's not their role. It is not the role of the kohuna to be involved in the judiciary. That is the role of the melech, Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, it's very interesting, but over here it says, though, tishboit, you shall judge, v'siyeh pokid, an officer, al beis mikdashi, and then Rashi goes on to say, v'nasatcha ma lechim, ki targumoy, u va'achoyus, mesaya. Now, the targum here is even more esoteric than the mitzudos. The mitzudos only spoke about the olam ha'neshamos, what goes on after a person leaves this world. The Unkelus, quoted by Rashi, quotes Techias HaMeisen. Uve Achoyus Mesaya. When the dead come back, when they return, Achayenoch, I will bring you back to life. Ve'etein loch, riglin, feet. I will give you regolim. Dim halchin, to walk bein, Sirpaya ho'ilein, the seraphim. The Sirpaya means various angels. When? At the time of Tchias HaMeisen. Tchias HaMeisen, they're going to be angels walking around the streets, and they're going to be standing on monuments on the streets, statues of Malachim. What does that mean exactly? This is all obviously too esoteric for us. Ulefi pshutoi, nevash albanim sheyizku lo'asid, they will merit to a future. Ha'imdim, Serafim, Malachi Asher, She'en Lechem Yeshiva. Okay, then he says, then he goes back to the esoteric interpretation. The Oimdim is a code word for the Serafim and the Malachi Ashares, which do not sit down. Now, why did Rashi select only these two categories? We know there are many categories. There are Fanim, there are Chayos HaKodesh, and there are many more categories. Why the Rashi, I do not know, but they're called Oimdim. They do not sit, they do not have knees. They do not have knees. Only human beings have knees. And we discussed this last week about Beris Nila, Sandikois. The Sandikois is done on the knees. There's a very great emphasis on David HaMelech says that Hashem, you gave me knees in order to do Sandikus. Sandikus, that's what it says in the Medrash Shachar Toiv, in Tehillim, and the Alchot Shmoini, knees, because a Beris Nila is the Beris Nila is the difference between man and Malach. The Beris Nila, not for now, but it captures the fundamental difference. The element of Beris Nila is the fundamental difference between a human being and a Malach. A Beris Nila basically means you can make a change. Hashem created a person one way, and Hashem gave a human being the ability to finish the job. If Hashem wanted a human being to not have a Bris Milah, Hashem would have created man without a Bris Milah. Hashem created man with an Orla, in order that we have an opportunity to make a change, to do something. A Malach does not have that ability. A Malach can go nowhere. A Malach is a product. It is what it is. A human being has mobility. The knees is what captures the fundamental difference between a Malach and a human being, and that is why they're called Oimdim, and we are called Mahalachim, those that have mobility. So Bris Milah, we do the Bris Milah on the knees to bring out that element. Okay, let's now take a look at the Radak. The Radak and Pasik. And by the way, there is a little bit of difficulty because in this week's parasha, when the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu, I think it says they sat down. He shoanu tachas ha'etz. What does that mean? It sounds to me like they sat down, right? To sit down, you need to have knees. So some say, no, they couldn't sit down. They don't have knees, so they lie down. They lie down flat. Yes. There are no knees.
It doesn't say shavu.
It says to lie down horizontal. Okay, they were vertical and horizontal. We don't find they actually sat down. It could be. Let's see over here in the Radak. Radak pasuk vav. Vayoad Malach Hashem hei boi davar ze kmo haidosi b'chem hayoyim ha'ed he'id bod ho'ish v'nif ticho ha'ayin v'nei shi giroinis. Ki hoye mishpotoi vayoed kmo vayoshev eis kol haruchos. So he's telling us the same thing as Rashi and the Mesudos. The word here vayoad comes from the word eid. He warned them. He's asking a question on the side. It would appear, according to the rules of grammar, it should be vayoed with a segel, not vayoad. Just like we have the word, we have Vayoshev. Okay, shave. Vayoshev. Just like we have shave, sit. So how come it doesn't say?
There is a patach under the eye and not a kamatz. It should be, because if it's milera, it should be with a kamatz. But it's mile'el.
It should be a segel. Vayoed. It's just like vayoshev. It should be vayoed, not vayoad. So why then is there a patach under the ayin? That's his question. According to the rules of grammar, you take a word, the word shave, it's to sit. Shave, shinbei, sit. Aid, witness. The root is aid. Just like the root is shave, to sit. Yet the word shave turns into vayoshev.
No, vayoshev means heshiv. It doesn't mean he sat.
Vayoshev eis kol to return. He returned. Yes. Vayoshev, he returned. So that's that. Okay, it's, okay, I'm sorry. Shove to return, but it's the same. Okay, the same point. Shave means to return. I'm sorry, to return. Shove means to sit. Shave is to return. Shave is to return. And now when it says that he returned, in the past tense, it says va yoshev es kol harachosh. And here, if that would be the case, the pasuk should say, if it's aid, like in shave, it should say vayoed, vayoed malach Hashem b'Yoshua. Why then does it say vayoad with a patach? This is his question. And his answer is, because it's an ayin. And ayins are exceptions. There's always an exception. And there's always an exception to the exception, and an exception to the exception of the exception in grammar. That's why grammar is very difficult for most people like me who have a very little head. It's very common. There's an exception. The ayin is an exception. The ayin gets a patach, not a segel. You know why? Because the ayin is a guttural sound. Shma. You ever listen to the briskers say shma? Shma. They say the ayin in a very funny way. I don't know what they're saying. I never can figure out what they're doing, these people. To me, it looks strange. But the ayin is not the way we pronounce it. We pronounce the ayin, we don't pronounce it correctly. So being that an ayin, it really has a different sound, which comes from deep, deep down in the throat. It has different rules. Privileged character. Pun intended. You get that, Rebuchol? Privileged character. The ayin is a privileged character because the guttural sound, and therefore it's not vayoed, but it's vayoad. That's what he says. Then, if you look over here, I don't know if you have it in the art school edition on Rashi. There's a sif saying zakenim on the side of Rashi, which also asks the same question. Perish Rashi l'shoyim hasra'ok mo v'idabom es hashamayim ad kan ritzon lemar milas vayoad hu migizras nocheho ayin. Easy for him to understand. It seems that Rashi, this way the Sifsei Zakenim explains, he learns that this question is such a fundamental question. That the word, the root of the word vayoa does not mean testimony. Everyone here, we've learned the Mitzudos and the Radak, okay, only really those two, that said, and we assume that's what Rashi means, we assumed, but now we think we're mistaken, is that the word vayoad means, there's no word. This word does not exist. It's a borrowed, it's a manipulated word. What's the root? We've been saying until now, aid. Ayin dalet with a tsere under the ayin, a witness. We take that word, we manipulate it into a word which means to warn. Because when you warn someone, you warn them in front of witnesses. Va yoad. Oh, but if that's going to be the case, so it should be va yoed with a segel. No, it's not. Don't chat me on TikTok. This is an ayin. An ayin has its own set of rules. So don't bother me with TikTok questions. The Sifsei Zakenim doesn't like that answer. He says it should be vayoed. If this word really, the root of this word really is, if it's really the word aid, it should be vayoed. The fact that it's not tells us that the root of this word is not a witness, but the root of this word is oud. The root of this word, he says, is Sheshar Shay Ayin Vav Dalet. It means oath, which means he continued to discuss more matters with him. Vayohad Malach Hashem. I'm not done yet. Don't sign out of the meeting. Don't leave. Oath. There's more to discuss. We learned over here, starting with the beginning of Zechariah, all these psukim, telling him what's going on here, Zechariah. You have dirty clothing, you have your children, and he tells him, gives him Musar, tells the Malachim. Now it says, Vayoad Malach Hashem Yeshua. He continued. Ode. There's more to discuss. Oh. So now, when you take the Shoresh of Ode, I don't know the rules of grammar, so it doesn't make any difference. I'm just saying words. When you take the Shoresh of the word Ode, and you turn it into, you manipulate it to bring out, I have more to discuss than indeed, according to the rules of grammar, which is not for now, then it is correct for the vowel to be a patach and not a segel. And it's,
but Rabbi, isn't it so that the Sifsei Chachamim is a peirush on Rashi?
Correct. And Rashi says Hasra'ah.
Yes.
Kmo v'ida b'mes hashmayim. So then he goes on to say, let's read the Sifsei Chachamim, you're right. That's why I was misled. Let's see. L'shon Hasra'ah, kmo v'ida b'mes hashmayim, adkan, ritzen alaymar, milas v'yoad, humi gizras nocheho ayin. The ayin is not pronounced. The ayin is, I guess, it's
the vav is not pronounced. The vav is nache ayin apol.
The ayin apol. I'm sorry. The ayin apol. Like correct. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. That's a big mistake. I'm sorry. Right. Paul. I'm sorry. You're right. That's a big mistake on my part. Ayin apol. Everything in the grammar comes to the pei ayin lamit. There are three words. What's the shoresh? Ayin vav. Dalad, od, and noche, ayin vav dalad, od, and noche means it's lacking, it's absent, it's silence. The vav, the ayin hapoal, is missing, it's gone, it's silent. What is the ayin hapoal in the word ayin vav dalad? Vav, pei ayin lamed, each letter, the pei corresponds in this case to the ayin corresponds to the vav, and the lamid corresponds to the dalit. So we said that the ayin of the poal is silent. In this case, the vav is absent. And therefore, but what is the true word? The true word is od. Od.
Shesharashay.
Maybe. Okay, let's see. V'im ha-vav. V'im ha-vav. Then when it says va-yo'at, it's the vav mehapeches, it turns the word from the past into the future, that I have something else. There's something else. Don't go away yet. Oh, there's something else. That's why we have a vav. Haifechas. I'm sorry. Right. We are describing what was. So he told him, then I have something more to tell you. And the malach, and we are writing about this in from the past, from the future, looking back at the past. So we change it from the future to the past. Vim vav hoyfeches osloavar nemar va yoad kmo va yokem. He rose up. Uvavur ha ayin bo apatach, and the ayin comes up. So, okay, without going through the nitty gritty in the ground, what he's saying over here is an incredible chiddush, and he's reading this into Rashi, which is very strange. The shoresh is old. Oh, but it says hasra, warning. Hatsua, in the context, I don't know what he means. Is Hatsua mean more? There's something more? I'm coming to warn you what's going to happen in the future? I guess so. What do you do? I guess you have to say that when you give a person Hatsua, what are you really doing? You're telling him about the future. You're telling him, if you misbehave, then let me predict the future. Here's the crystal ball in front of me. I see in the crystal ball that if you do this Avera, we will execute you. I see your funeral. I see everything that's going to happen. The future, that's what Hasra is. Not, oh, you testify in front of witnesses. Okay, so it's old. That is the Hasra.
Isn't
it?
Isn't
the,
I wonder why it doesn't bring
One person at a time. Rav Kalman, I'll come back in a second. Rav Kalman, what do you say, Rav Kalman?
Ha'ed he'id banu ha'ish le'mor. Lo tir'u panai bilti achichem itchem. Ha'ed he'id. That's a warning. That's what you're saying.
Oh, so you want to tie it here.
To me in the future without
okay,
you
unbelievable. Back. It's incredible, okay. Incredible stuff here.
It's the same kind of thing.
Unbelievable.
It's not Eidus.
It's not Eidus. It's a warning, because the warning is the future. Okay, what were you saying, Rabbi Mordechai?
It's not Sifsei Chachomim, it's Sifsei Zekim.
I know, it's a different parish. He copied. It's he copied. It's the same idea. He did a playoff. The Sifsei Chachamim was Medayik and Rashi, was the grammar, Diyukim, all the other Diyukim, other Diyukim. So this parish, it's not the same person, obviously. Maybe it is. I have to go look in the beginning of the front of the Sefer. He wrote a parish on Rashi and he copied the same idea. He calls it Zekanim. But the same idea. But we take out of this an incredible Chiddush. Incredible Chiddush. The word Vayohad, what is the root? Either it's Eidos, testimony, and we're not worried about the grammar problem because it's an ayin, it's an exception to the rules, or no, we are worried about the ayin, and the reason why it's not a problem is because the root is not aid, the root is owed, the future. And when you give a warning, the thrust is the future, shape up, or the future is not going to look good for you. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Okay, we'll stop. We'll take tomorrow, take a short break. And we're going to talk about today a couple of things. Talk about Hachnosas Orchim. And then I want to talk about danger. This is something that's very relevant for the matz of today. And we have some lot of sources about coming in contact with people that have a contagious disease. And what are our duties and obligation to distance ourselves from danger when there is a disease out in the world that is contagious. So this week we have a very, very interesting Mekoros in this week's parasha relating to this topic. Okay, after the break, we're back in a few moments. After a commercial, I'll sponsor of the people who make the crystal balls to predict the future.